The FCEF, the Floor Covering Education Foundation, is a nonprofit organization. It's dedicated to eliminating the crisis in the floor covering industry. That crisis, incidentally, caused by the lack of qualified and trained installers. They do this through recruitment, through scholarship, and the placement of professional floor covering installers. We're going to talk about this morning. With us, Don Roberts. He's the CEO of Central Alabama Flooring. He's also the chairman of the FCEF. And Jim Aaron, he is former VP of Merchandising at CCA. He is the executive director of the FCEF. And gentlemen, great to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, David.
Now, the shortage of installers has been with us for, I've been in this industry just about forever, and it was here before I was. And it became worse, however, during the recession of 2008. This is a situation that seems to me that everybody has talked about all these years, but have done little to solve it. A little history about this. The WFCA got this effort moving. It challenged the industry and other associations in this industry by ponying up $1 million. First question. We talked earlier this year about getting various players in the industry on board for this effort. Bring us up to date on your efforts to gain support from this industry and where your energy has been specifically aimed and the kind of progress you made. And Jim, let me direct that at you first.
Let's start out acknowledging our initial sponsors, so to speak, the folks and the industry that have committed to the foundation, committed financially. Of course, we've got Mohawk Industries, we've got Shaw Industries, and of course, Engineered Floors. Each one of those companies have committed very heavily financially, as well as, the seed money from the WFCA. I'm actually in the middle of working through scheduling some trips, some fundraising trips that Don and myself and Deb DeGraff are going to go on in the next month. We're going to, I guess I would call them the next tier suppliers, right? A little bit smaller suppliers, but still some of the very big players, and meet with these guys and say, hey, it's an industry problem. I'm going to use one of Don's terms. I'm going to steal his thunder. He uses this all the time. It's an industry problem. It has to be an industry solution. Right. So everybody's got to play a part financially and otherwise. And so it can't be just left to those three large manufacturers. We need everybody's support. And we've already got retailers committed to donating $100 a month to our foundation. And by the way, it's really easy to do on our website, FCEF.org. There's a link for donations, and you can do a one-time donation on that site or also set up recurring monthly donations as well. And really, that was born out of a challenge that Don did in an article he wrote a couple of months ago, challenging the industry and challenging the retailers to donate $100 a month. So, Don, let me let you pick up from there.
One of the things, and we've had this issue, Dave, and you and I have talked about this before. We've had the issue out there for years, and I would tell you it's probably been 20 to 25 years. We knew it, we saw it coming, but everybody looked, you know, at each other. Somebody else is going to fix this. So I can just sit back and I can keep going my way. Manufacturers back in the day didn't look at it like it was part of their problem. They looked at it as it was the retailer's problem, and the retailer's going to fix it. It'll happen. It'll get done. I think what's happened recently, the last 2-3 years, everybody's seeing that it's everybody's problem. Our limits today in the floor covering industry, I don't care if you're a commercial guy, a multifamily, or retail person, we're limited to what we can sell based on what we can get professionally installed. Say what you want about the do-it-yourself stuff. I would tell you today, we probably go back and fix 30 to 40% of the do-it-yourself stuff that the husband, try to do it themselves to save some money. And every time you go to save some money on something like this thing, it comes back to haunt you. You know how that works. We have challenged the industry, but I'll tell you what, it's not an easy issue. Again, when everybody's looking at everybody else to fix it, here's one of the biggest problems. Oh my gosh, if I put money in this and I don't get one of those installers, I'm not going to get anything for my money. And I have this conversation with retailers all the time. I would much rather be in Birmingham, Alabama with another 30 new crews of floor covering installers in my industry, go and earn them to come work for my company, rather than have to sit and hide in the bushes in the morning at my competition and follow their vans to the job and go hand them my business card. Because that's what people were doing and probably are doing today. We need more installers out there so that we have a pool of people to go after to come work for us. And it's our obligation as retailers, dealers, or whatever, to earn them that they would want to come work for us. That's my goal here, is just to get more in the pool.
Can I follow up on one thing that Don said? He talked about what we can sell by what we can install. It's a trickle-up thing, right? I mean, it's a backflow. If a salesperson can install it, the salesperson can't sell it. The retail store can't sell it. So there's lost commissions. There's lost profit. It goes all the way back to the distributor, to the manufacturer, and even to the people that supply those guys. I believe this industry could sell a lot more if we could install more. Look, Don will tell you he's got quite a number of crews, and he's backed up. How far backed up right now are you, Don?
We're probably 5 weeks out. You know, but here's the problem. That isn't the scary part. That's not terrible as far as I'm concerned. What's terrible is I've got a bunch of backlog of product that I'm waiting for. I mean, I've got a few million dollars in open orders that I'm waiting for material to hit my warehouse so that I can install it. And when that stuff starts hitting, it can get a lot worse.
Don, let me ask you this question about attitudes of people in the industry. You said it was, that's somebody else's problem. I'm not going to worry about it. With the efforts that both of you guys are doing out there in the field with manufacturers and retailers and others, is that attitude changing? Are they seeing, hey, you know, I can help solve this?
I absolutely believe it's changing. It's not changing at the pace we would like it to see. But when you've got people like Shaw Industries and Mohawk stepping up, and literally, they stepped up early on in this thing. I mean, we didn't have this huge plan. We had set out with, you know, a small business plan. We kind of knew the things that we wanted to accomplish, but we also knew it was going to take money. And Engineered Floors, Shaw and Mohawk saw in that, and so did WFCA. And they said, yes, go for it. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. 25 years of a problem aren't going to be solved in 6 months of us. You know, we just hired Jim. Jim, you came on board, what, April? And we've got a lot of things going on. In fact, we're going to go around. Not only are we going to go do we'll work for food campaign for the flooring industry. We're also going to go around and give updates to the people that have started the sponsorship of us and have helped us out and give them an update of where we're at, where we're going. And Jim can give you a little bit more of that here shortly. But those are the things that have to change. Attitudes have to change. Retailers' attitudes have to change. And by the way, our challenge wasn't $100 a month for retailers. Our challenge was $100 a month per location per retailer. You know, like in my case, I've got five locations. So that's $500 a month that I donate into this besides, you know, the other efforts that we are putting out here. Retailers need to get on board with this. It's not something that they're going to see immediate response to. But I will tell you, if you don't do it, there won't be a response even for us to go out and fight for these guys. I mean, if one thing we've learned, people don't have a clue that there's an industry out there called the flooring industry, except for the people that are in it. They think, man, when you built a house, the floor was there. I think they believe we built the house around the floors that grew out of the earth. They were that naive to it. I mean, seriously.
It's so true. Real quick story. I was down in College Station, Texas, visiting Robert Varden's son, Jonathan Varden, go in for a week at the technical school down there in Bryan, Texas, to teach the flooring part of their year-long construction class. And while I was there, a couple of the principals of the different schools that were offering construction classes as a trade asked me to come speak to the groups about a career in flooring installation. And so I'm standing in front of a room, 35 or 40 kids, all of them juniors and seniors in high school. So I said, okay, great. Let me level set here. All of you guys are going into a trade, right? Nobody's going to a four-year university. Not that that's right or wrong, but not for everybody. And they said, yes, absolutely. We're all going to a trade. By show of hands, how many of you are going into flooring installation? Dave, I'm sure you can imagine not one hand went up. And so I looked at, I said, so what are you doing? Electric, plumbing, HVAC. They named every other part of the house except flooring. And I said, guys, why not flooring? And I just got these blank stares. And then I had this one kid on the front that literally said this. He goes, installing floors, that's a thing? You can get paid to do that? And I said, yes. And so we have done a terrible, terrible job of even getting the word out. And right there, that's an uphill climb. Look, HVAC, plumbing, electric, all of these trades are needing workers. And yet they've got the, I guess, advantage that at least there's awareness about that trade. if that makes sense.
The other thing, though, Dave, that you've got with this is that you also have a trade that, for the most part, of all the trades that are out there, we have been a 1099 trade, a subcontractor trade, way more than we've been in a employee trade. And I think that's huge as well. I mean, most HVAC guys, most plumbers, most carpenters are working for somebody. They're employees. Whether they get benefits or not, they probably have access to benefits. They got access to vacation time, retirement plans, and everything else. For the most part, the flooring industry is about 20% employees and 80% subcontractors. And we're going to make the assumption that these kids in high school today or going into college, by the way, they're going into college in their 30s, I guess, because they're still living at home. These kids are actually going to want to come out of these schools and start their own business right away and go be a subcontractor, and it ain't happening today. The first questions out of people's mouths when they're asking about a job is, how much time off do I get? So they want vacation time. They want health benefits. They want all these other things. And we as an industry have not been there, and we need to figure that out as well.
The organization is not a training entity. Talk about what is the function of the organization.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Dave. We are not a training entity. I am not doing any training. Listen, I've installed floors in my own home. I don't want to do it again. So I certainly am not going to train anybody how to do it. We have what we call training partners, right? And our training partners are CFI. Naturally, everybody knows CFI, NWFA, National Wood Flooring Association, and the CTEF, the Ceramic Tile Education Foundation, which is really an arm of the TCNA, Tile Contractors of North America. So those are basically our three training entities today. And those guys are the largest, the most known and most well-respected. And we've worked with them to identify their entry-level courses, right? Their entry-level. Right now, we want about 80% of our money to go to scholarships to new recruits, because again, we need to bring those new people in. And 20% will probably go eventually to folks that are already in the industry. But again, we aren't doing any training. Our scholarships are going to go to those training entities. And look, we're actually looking at a couple of different entities to, I guess the word is, to assess whether or not they're a right partner to send scholarships to. One of them is, I think it's... PJ Arthur's company, the where he talks about, you know, he trains on wovens and wools and things like that. We think that's something we probably ought to have it as an approved training entity as well.
Do you have goals? Are there a certain number of recruits you want to produce each year, each month?
I would tell you, to Don's point, we are planting a lot of seeds right now. So listen, if you want shade tomorrow, you've got to plant the tree today. It's not going to happen overnight. Like Don said, I've only been in my role, 6 months? We're planting a lot of seeds. We're working with a lot of people. We've already scholarshiped a number of people through CFI's 5-week carpet course. We're going to amp that up. We'll talk about how we're doing that and working with local job force or workforce entities in certain towns. Just talked to Scott Carruthers with the Ceramic Tile Education Foundation yesterday. He's got 2 more people. He's on a scholarship to his introductory tile training coming up in September. Ultimately, and this is a big number, if the Blackstone report said that we are losing between 5,000 and 6,000 installers per year, and I think that's the number, correct me if I'm wrong, Don, but if the industry is losing 5,000 to 6,000 a year, that's how many we need to bring in and train, right? I mean, look,
and that's just to stay even where we're at. That's not to provide for growth.
To be candid with you, we're not going to get there in the first year. There's a lot of work that's got to be done on the front end, but ultimately, my goal is that we scholarship so many individuals that we are testing the capacity at each one of our training entities. I want to create a problem for Robert Varden at CFI, Michael Martin and Brett over at the NWFA, and Scott Carruthers at the tile, at the CTEF. I want to create a problem for them where they're wondering, oh my gosh, how are we going to train all of these people?
There's another thing, David, that, when I got into the business, and this has been a long time ago, 1975, in Kalamazoo, Michigan, you could go to the technical school. There was called Caltech. You could go to the technical school there and learn to install carpeting. They taught carpeting there. I don't know when the technical school stopped it, but I think it was probably sometime late 70s, early 80s, but it went bye-bye. Technical schools get paid to teach. right? They get paid to teach courses, classes, train, whatever. So they want things to train that are in high demand, high need industries. They don't want to, you know, train somebody how to make a buggy whip today, right? Because I don't think there's a lot of buggy whips needed. So flooring, which is a high demand thing, here's their challenges though, right? They need a curriculum. They need a curriculum to be able to implement this thing. And then they need a teacher. And this isn't a teacher that's a math teacher yesterday that all of a sudden can whip out a power stretcher and start showing people how to cross stretch a room and seam pattern goods. So we've got challenges there, but we have interest there and a very high interest, by the way. I don't know, Jim, if you want to talk a little bit more to that, but it's very high interest. They want to train this. They're just looking at us for a solution and others for a solution to give them the curriculum and come up with some trainers that can handle this.
Let me follow up with that and discuss that just a little bit. And let me preface what I'm about to say with this. I'm going to use Don's phrase so often that it's eventually going to be attributed to me. It's an industry problem. It needs to be an industry solution. I'm not one guy here that says I've got all the answers, because I do not. Besides money and support, we need ideas. We need partners at the local level. I say that to set this up. I received a phone call back in May from Victor Anderson, Anderson Carpet One in Alto, Georgia. Of course, I knew him through my time at Carpet One. He said, listen, Jim, he said, I don't know if you know, but I ran for state legislature here in Georgia and I won my seat. So I am now a Georgia state legislature representative and I've got contacts with the Technical College System of Georgia. Let's get on a phone call and talk to them. So we did. And it was an interesting call. I asked these people. Now, these people are the ones that run the entire technical college system in the state of Georgia, the carpet capital of the world. And I said, do you offer at any of your technical colleges any flooring installation training? Of course, they said no. I asked why. They looked at me with blank stares. They didn't know why. I then shared with them the situation in our industry about losing installers, the Blackstone report, and they were excited. So again, where we are now is we are developing a curriculum. When I say we, myself and Kay Whitener, my partner in crime here at the FCEF, we've really been facilitating and gathering everybody together from these training entities. We've had a number of Zoom calls now where we've had the people that run the technical college system in Georgia. We've had CFI, NWFA, CTEF all on these Zoom calls with those guys. We've also had a couple of retail representatives on the call as well. Where we are now is we are about 90% the way through completing a semester-long curriculum. And again, totally developed by our training partners. Kay and I are just kind of herding the cats and making all this thing happen and facilitating the work. But once it's done, we're going to have a curriculum. We're going to have a 6-month curriculum that can be instituted into trade schools. And it's going to be 300 classroom hours, 75 hours on carpet, 75 on resilient, which would include sheet and LVT, 75 on hardwood, and 75 on ceramic tile. And from there, they've got a baseline knowledge of all of these categories, and they can then choose where they want to go. And here's the exciting part. Don talked about trainers. Listen, there's a lot of guys that have been installing and on their knees for a number of years, and they're looking for something to do. They're looking to give back, but maybe their body's just worn out. How about let's pull those guys in, pay them to do the training at the technical colleges? And look, all of our training entities, they have those names. So that's the other part. So I would tell you where we are right now. We will be introducing this semester-long class in one of the technical colleges in Northwest Georgia with the January semester, with the spring semester. We are going to have that instituted in January. And so from there, what we want to do, and Don, I'm going to shut up in a minute and let you add to this, but from there, we'll have a package, right? We'll have something. We'll have, I guess, the kit. Maybe that's not the right word, but we'll have this thing that we can now duplicate and say, hey, just take this to other technical colleges and other states all across the country.
Last week, we went to the CFI convention in Orlando. We had a panel there, David, of three retailers and three installers. We had a conversation on, you know, what each other wants out of the relationship between the two. You know, the sad part about it was, and I've said this before, we were there preaching to the choir. because the CFI guys, and Jim got to see this firsthand, when you go to a CFI convention, we had just under 200 people at this convention, but you've got a group of guys that are so dedicated and loyal and to each other and to our industry, by the way, and to perfecting the craft of installation. It is amazing. In fact, we sat up there on this panel talking about all this stuff, and we're preaching to the choir because these guys get it. They're there. They understand that you don't waste 20 minutes on the phone trying to get a salesperson to complain that the customer didn't move the shoes out of their closet in the bedroom. You just go move the thing, move on, and make the customer happy and get it done. Now, you don't get abused and beat up by the retailer, but you also don't cut your nose off to spite your face. These guys just really have a different way of looking at things. They both know that we're there to make the customer elated when we walk out of their house, so that the customer wants to go back to that dealer and they request that installer and say, listen, I'm not going to do the job with you, Mr. Retail, unless you know, I get Manuel or I get Jim or I get Susie to do my installation. And by the way, we had a lot of young people there last week, which was really exciting. I mean, I was actually kind of flabbergasted. One of them was a lady by the name of Crystal Sims that competed in the installation challenge out at Surfaces and finished in the top four, being in the competition, I guess, coming up at Surfaces to be the premier installer in the country, you know, the number one. I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. And she's a young person. I can't believe she's even 30 or so. I mean, it's amazing. But these guys were awesome. And that's where we need to get with these. We have to have some pride in this industry. It can't be the guys going out with their, you know, wife beater shirts on, tattoos hanging out, you know, and smelling like they just got out of the bar before they picked up the carpet to go to work. Sorry, but that's our challenge.
It seems to me that many have thought that the basic problem all along about recruiting installers has been dollars and cents, that the pay for an installer wasn't competitive with other trades. Do you think going forward, installers will make more money than they have in the past? And is that a major problem?
I'll definitely take that. Has it been a problem? Absolutely, it's been a problem. I think it's kind of a self-inflicted problem in some cases. Again, if people are going to go out there and work for 50 cents a yard and do the work, somebody's going to pay them to do that. Take a look at the multifamily market. There's different segments. I mean, I wouldn't have had probably most multifamily guys go into a $1 million house. But there is that segment out there of who's going to do what. I think you have to give retailers a reason of why they should pay you more. And I think that's happening right now. I think that's happening with the shortage of it. If you're not going to learn a better skill, if you're not going to upgrade the talents that you have now, why would I pay you more? And part of this thing is with Jim is that we're going to look at 20% of these funds to be used for existing installers to do, whether they do a night class, you know, a week's worth of night class to upgrade their skills. They're going to want to say, okay, if I'm going to go through all this extra effort, Mr. Retailer, what am I going to get out of this, right? And I think we've got to set some of those standards. I was never a union guy in all my years in business, but I will tell you, a lot of the things that the unions did were they set standards and they set levels that you had to achieve to get those standards were very good. You know, there was other things that weren't, but I think that was one of them. So we have to look at that. But we got the same problem on the retail side, right? I want my competition to be as good as I am so that if I lose a deal to them, I lose it because they're a better company, better customer service, better installers, better installation, not because they're better at dropping price. And that's the same thing that the installers have got to take the attitude of as well. If you're a guy that should be getting paid $7 a yard to install carpet and you keep dropping your price down to $4.50 to take work, I'm sorry, but that's supply and demand. People are going to pay it.
You were talking about recruiting and some of the questions that some of these candidates were asking. And I suspect at the top of the list is, what am I going to make?
You know, look, I would tell you, we stop short of telling an exact number because it's different. Listen, if you're a tile installer in Jacksonville, Florida, what you're paid is completely different than being a tile installer in Connecticut.
Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah, it's completely different. What we do, however, is we are currently using what I call our advocates, our influencers, We have a wonderful marketing partner, by the way, and they just created a video that we released just last week. It's out on YouTube and it's on our social media. And in that video, it's a 10-minute video, but I will tell you, it doesn't feel like 10 minutes. It's a great video. Our marketing partner did a phenomenal job. But in that video are actual installers. We filmed these interviews back at the Surfaces show in June, and we have actual installers telling the world, I love what I do. I have pride in what I do, and I make a lot of money. And so we're using their voice instead of my voice. Listen, I, you know, one of the things I mentioned is when I went down to Bryan, Texas, just outside of College Station, and spoke to these kids in this room. I mean, here I am. Yeah, I'm wearing my sports coat, my shiny shoes, you know, and I don't have, you know, have dirt under my fingernails. And I'm telling them, you should be a flooring installer. And something came over to me, and I knew they were looking at me going, yeah, you didn't. Why are you telling me? And it's that moment I said, you know what? I can't be the message to that generation. We've got to have other young people that are doing it and talk about the pride and how it's changed their life and the money they make. So long answer to a short question. We don't get into specifics about money. We just say, listen, it's in high demand and you can make a lot of money.
But basically, you're talking to retailers. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, are retailers going to have to pay installers more to change the whole equation here that we've been living with all these years?
Yeah, I believe so. Listen, I don't shy away from controversy and I don't shy away from controversial statements. And so this is going to be one of them. I would say if you're a retailer today and you're still paying your guys the same amount you were, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, count yourself lucky, maybe, because I think the installer community truly understood the lack of installers. Like Don mentioned it a moment ago, supply and demand. I think if they really understood the level of need, they would have raised their prices on you a long time ago. And I think it's high time we get to that.
There's more than money in this relationship. And I think most people know this, seen these reports all over the country. People don't leave companies because of money, unless that money gap is ridiculously huge. They leave because they don't like who they work for, they don't like who they work with, or they don't like the working conditions that they're working under. Those are way above pay, right? But that's the other thing in this equation that a lot of dealers, and again, this is a broad brush, but you got to value these guys every bit as important as your salespeople, as your kids. I mean, this is a family as far as I'm concerned. If you went to a CFI convention, you'd know how much of a family they are. It is a family, and people want to be respected. And by the way, that's a two-way street as well. It works just as well from the installer's point of view as well. I think there's so many things that go into that relationship, and money is not the top thing, but it's definitely up there and it's definitely important. But a feeling of self-worth, being respected at what you do, and having a craft that you both look back and high-five each other when you did a great job.
Do you feel that retailers that you talk to are in a place where they're amenable to increasing pay to installers? I mean, that would seem to me to be a necessary part of this whole thing. Are people amenable to that?
Let me tell you, here's what happens, right? So we're in one of those years, like we were back in whatever it was, 2004, 2005, where we've had how many price increases this year that we've, you know, I mean, just crazy numbers. We can absorb all those price increases from all these mills and all the freight carriers and all this other stuff, but we can't give the installer another nickel a square foot. That's a fallacy as far as I'm concerned. Now, if you're only providing customer price, I think it's a big struggle for you. But if you're offering a customer service and warranties and you stand behind what you do, I speak for the Carpet One group. I mean, that's important to us. Our reputation's important. You know, the job, when we walk away, we want to look back and know that we did a fabulous job with that customer. Those things are what's important out there. You got to pay these guys more. I raised my prices 20% this year on labor. I did it without paying more to begin with, just to see if I could absorb it before didn't miss a beat.
Just to sum this up, let me ask you, and Jim, I'll start with you here. The kind of support you're getting, what you expect to see going forward, and I guess primarily the reaction you're getting from the retailers and other manufacturers that you're talking to? And then, Don, I want you to answer the same question.
Well, listen, the support has been fantastic. At the same time, you know, we talk to some people who don't even know who we are and what we're doing. And, you know, it's a lot to cover. I mean, look, I could be on this interview with you for hours longer. This is page after page of all the different leads we're following. And a lot of the leads we're following, honestly, like the technical college system thing we're putting together, it was a lead from a retailer. And a lot of the things we're working on are actually leads that we got from somewhere else. So they're supportive, but we need more support. I mean, it's pockets here and pockets there. We need the entire industry to support. You know, let me back up one more minute here. When Don talked about a price increase, what if, Don, how many price increases did you have last year or this year?
Well, this year, probably four or five anyway.
Four or five. What if during one of those price increases, the manufacturers added one penny, just one penny, or even maybe a half a penny during that price increase to go to these scholarships to support the actual training and recruiting of new people and new talent into the business. So listen, what I would tell you is that we've got good support. Everybody who understands what we're doing supports our mission. And if people were to ask me, how can we support? How can we get involved? I would tell you a number of different things. Number one, follow us on social media. Help share our message. I had a meeting yesterday with our marketing partner. We're actually going to start a marketing campaign on all the social media sites, a targeted marketing campaign to try to reach those recruits. We're going to test this for the next 3 months. And the marketing people were asking me, okay, where do you want to test it? I mean, there are specific locations. And I said, well, you know what? Let's test a couple of different places, right? A couple of high population places. Let's test the areas where these training entities already exist. Let's St. Louis is where NWFA is. The upstate of South Carolina is where CTEF is. And of course, CFI is over in Dallas, Texas. So let's geo-target those, right? But here's what I also said. Let's target some of the areas where retailers have already reached out to me and said, if I get guys here, can you bring the training to me? And I will tell you, they all will, whether it's any of our training approved training entities, they will bring the training to you if you have the people. So like, give you an example, I'm gonna call out Zach Allen right now. Zach Allen at Buddy Allen Carpet One. He's one of the first people that reached out to me and asked that question. And he's working currently on doing that recruiting in his own area. So I told our marketing partner, guess what? Spend some of the money in Nashville, Tennessee, where he is. So we need financial help. We need people working with us at the grassroots level. And, you know, listen, we need recruits and we need money. And we need people sharing our message. Don, what would you add? Well,
and here's a couple other things, David. You know, number one, we got a big industry. There's a lot of people out there and a lot of people got opinion. The last thing we need is 1,000 people throwing out ideas. And when their idea doesn't get addressed, they get their panties in a wad and get ticked off. And, well, I'm not going to do anything. That's not going to help the situation here whatsoever. You got to look at this as a long-term solution, and it's going to be a long-term solution. And we've got to keep the ball rolling, but we've got to build the snowball from this size to something that's going to roll and consume the United States. And that's where we need to be with this thing. We're in the process now of trying to figure out some things that we can do regionally through distribution, get some events going out there to get retailers involved in this and do it in a productive way. But right now we need money. We do need some ideas, but please don't take offense if your idea isn't snapped up in the first couple of months. We'll make a list and we'll go back and revisit these things. The things we need to do right now and what our donors, the major guys, want to see is stuff that can be replicated. Stuff that we can take and replicate in Texas, in California, in Tennessee, and all these other states. It can be replicated and kicked out, start the process of kicking out installers here. So that's just going to be super important. But I will tell you, retailers, we need $100 per location per month, $1,200 a year per store, and give it wholeheartedly. Know that it's going to help solve this installation crisis and help us move the ball.
Very good. Gentlemen, well, you know, it's good to see this thing moving along as it is. And my hat's off to both of you guys for your efforts here. And thanks so much for talking with us today, too. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
We've been talking with Don Roberts. He is the chairman of the FCEF. He's also the CEO of Central Alabama Flooring. And Jim Aaron, he is formerly VP of Merchandising at CCA. He is executive director of the FCEF. And this is Talk Floor TV.